So many two-part.
Hailing Frequencies Open, and welcome to Star Trek Discoverage, the live podcast that boldly goes into excruciating detail about this week's episode of Star Trek Discovery. I'm your host, Aaron Coker, a.k.a. Caliban, and everyone loves it when the bad guy gets kicked out of an elevator, except for the cleaning crew. And the bad guy, I suppose. Joining me on the show, as usual, is my co-host. She's also the co-host of the Generations Geek podcast, a more or less family-friendly celebration of geekdom. It's Ella Pearson. Ella, welcome back to Discoverage.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here, Ella. And I don't know if you've been paying attention or keeping score, but we have done it! We did it! We made it to the 23rd week of 23 weeks of Trek. How's it feel?
This has been the best 23 weeks of my life. And I don't know what I will do next week and in the future.
Yeah. And, you know, I was thinking about it today. I don't know what I would have done without 23 weeks of Trek. Do you know what I mean? Like, just this, it's been the worst fall of my life, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
And pretty much the worst first week of a year of my life. And through it all, yeah. I had Trek to enjoy, to complain about, to do all the things that I usually do with Trek. And yeah, I might not have made it. So thank you, Star Trek.
Yeah, they're giving us the normalcy that we need, the it routine.
Yeah, that's totally what they were doing. And I love them for it. Also returning to the show tonight, the co-host of the Virtual Theater podcast, as well as the Pro Wrestling Required Viewing podcast, and my co-host on Backtrekking, it's Gooey Fame. Gooey, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Gooey, 23 yes. weeks.
Yeah, yeah. I will say I wasn't on board every week. I did some cramming lately.
But, oh, so, okay, yeah. You took a break, a vacation from the 23 weeks, and then came back.
Once the holidays hit, I was like, I hadn't been really feeling the season, and I was like,
yeah,
I missed an episode, and then another week came, and I was like, yeah, maybe I'll miss another episode. You know, this feels right.
Maybe I'll go crazy.
This break feels pretty good. I'm going to stick with this.
Skip school.
Yeah, that's right. You got to make up.
I got them in, though. I watched all the episodes.
Well, you know, I wouldn't blame you for missing a couple because you're a really busy guy with all your podcasts. Yeah. And I only want to talk about the Star Trek one that you're on, Backtrekking. I think that it's interesting that, you know, when we started Backtrekking and started talking about the real world stories and also literature and media that inspired Trek episodes, you know, we found that there was more to that premise than I originally thought. I wasn't sure how far we could take it, but we've gone through, you know, like 48 shows at this point, and it never seems to stop. And sometimes it kind of comes back on itself because, you know, last week people were talking about with Michael Burnham running around alone in the ship and losing her shoes and getting beat up, that people were saying a Die Hard. And it took me back to our very first episode of Backtrekking when we talked about Die Hard and the TNG episode it inspired, Starship Mine.
Oh, yeah. All the way back to the beginning. Yeah, there's so much. Like, I guess I hope they just keep making shows so, you know, we always have something to talk about. keep us going.
801 pieces of media aren't enough to explore. Yeah, I think we'll have fodder for a long time of shows. Speaking of which, what's coming up in the future for Backtrekking?
Well, we just planned out quite many shows. That was one of the most intense planning meetings for a podcast I've ever been involved in. Most podcasts I do have no preparation almost. But we are, for our next episode, we're going to be talking about Wonder Woman 1984, which is another thing that over the break I was like, you know what? I don't have to watch this. Everyone is all like mad about this. I could just not watch it, but now I gotta watch it.
your ability to not watch things is a source of envy for me. Because, you know, I want to talk to you about The Mandalorian. You're like, not watching it. I'm like, okay.
I'm starting to be pulled on that. I'm like, okay, yeah. I think I got to watch The Mandalorian. Getting I think you're, caught in the orbit.
Yeah, you're smart. Because you know you're going to get pulled in. So, you know, just tease it a little bit. Yeah, play hard to get. I understand that.
There's nothing that makes me not want to watch something, though, when everyone is watching it. I don't know what it is. Like, there'll be, like, a new season of, like, I don't know, Stranger Things or something, and everyone's did you see that? And I'm like, I too many people are talking about it.
No, man, I get haven't.
That. Yeah, I'm too cool. I can't watch that.
I guess. Well, that's great. People check out Backtrekking on Twitter at Backtrekking if you want to know more. And thanks for being here tonight, Gooey. Let's talk about news. There's no real news tonight, but I did want to mention one thing. We haven't talked about it on the show before, but Trek author and friend of the show, Dave Gallanter, passed away last month on December 12th after a battle of cancer. And he was survived by his wife, Samantha, and his son, Josh, and his huge, loving extended family, who are a bunch of great people. And Dave was a great guy. He was very funny. He was a great writer. I've talked with him about some of his books on some of the Enterprising Individuals episodes he's been on. And he was on Discoverage a handful of times. And he was always a lot of fun to have on the show. And fun to talk to. And I know that he really enjoyed Discovery and the new Trek shows. And he wrote a great new chapter for the Disco Universe in his latest book, Dead Endless, which focuses on Stamets and the USS Discovery. So I just wanted to dedicate this show tonight to him and his family in his memory. And we'll miss you, Dave. Well, tonight we have seen the finale episode of the third season of Star Trek Discovery, That Hope Is You, Part 2, and we're here to break it down for you. And before we start, as always, we're setting a course for the Spoiler Zone listeners, so be warned, we're glad you've decided to join us, but if you haven't seen the episode, spoilers are incoming. And the official synopsis for That Hope Is You, Part 2 is, as the Emerald Chain tightens its grip and the mystery of the Burn is finally solved, Burnham and the crew have one last chance to save themselves and the Federation. Written by Michelle Paradise and directed by Olatunde Osunsamni, both Michelle and Olatunde wrote and directed, respectively, last year's finale, Such Sweet Sorrow, Parts 1 and 2. The in-universe date is, of course, still 3189, and we don't know the exact star date, but I guess it's a few hours after 29141429.1, the star date that we saw last week. Maybe we need a new star date system at this point. Just update it. Start at zero. The new zero. There's no real guest stars. I mean, everybody shows up on this at the end, but I wanted to mention specifically, I'm not sure we've singled her out before, Hannah Speer returns as Issa, the mother of Sukal in this episode. And Speer previously played Saru's sister, Serana, when we see her in The Brightest Star. And I think she's pretty great. You know, I think it's partially a case of, well, we know the prosthetics fit, as we've done before in past Paramount Productions, but I think that she brings a real level of emotionality to those characters, especially under all that makeup. I guess we can just confirm and kill these theories now at this point, since all the questions have been answered. No, it seems like they are not ready to move Michael off the show. That's not going to happen. Oh, no she's way. She's there for good. We don't know about the future of Michael and Stamets. There is a little suggestion of a continued break or wound there in their relationship. I feel like this episode, and we can talk about this when we get to the kind of body of the show, but I felt like they were really making a meal out of the ultimate cause of the Burn and the nature of Sukal. And I feel like the audience, we kind of got all that. We inferred all that, didn't we? They took time this week to really to sell it and solidify it. But I felt like those questions were answered more or less in previous episodes.
They give, yeah, the explanation was very, like, in case you missed it. Like, it was almost like a recap type thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But we've got, a period on that sentence. Oh, boy. Saru's captaincy was a dangling thread that we had on our censor list or our theory list. And he's not captain anymore. And I wonder what you guys think about Doug Jones's future with the show.
Well, I think we'll We'll come back to him. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming, on Kaminar, but it is interesting that he's leaving the Federation for the time being.
Yeah. Like, I think it would be really easy. I mean, you know, with a snap of their fingers, they can have him back in season four. But yeah, it's just interesting to put him in that position. I mean, clearly we've been talking this year about him wanting to reconnect with his people, not just as an exile from them, but also as a time exile from them. And but I'd hate to, if we just go and follow him on Kaminar next year, that'd be great. But if it means we
I think that's possible, honestly.
You think so? Yeah.
I don't necessarily think, like, being on the ship is totally important to being a regular person on the show the way they do the show.
It seems like, Star Trek is always, that's kind of been the thing, right? Like, the moving stage is the ship. But it's possible. I mean, we had a lot of different places we jumped in between on Picard. In any case, like, if it means that we get, like, more Bill Irwin as Sukal, I think that could be really cool. I'd love to see what that character looks like when he adjusts more and, you know, kind of gets himself more centered and what we can do with jacked up dilithium man-child.
I think it could be interesting, too, to see, because Saru was all about, like in some of the episodes where they went to Nivar or whatever, he was like there as an ambassador and he like wants to bring people into the Starfleet or whatever. But now he's specifically looking out, you know, for his own people's interests. So it could be cool to see like how his opinion or like the way he acts would change, you know, from that, just their planetary perspective.
Federation ambassador to Kaminar.
Yeah. And, like, maybe there's a struggle there or something like that.
I always wonder. yeah, I suppose. Or he'll just be like Worf, and, like, the next time we see him, he's like, yeah, that didn't work out.
or it's like in all the movies where they just have to keep coming up with their reasons to be there.
Saru is now the guy that they have to somehow fold into whatever they're doing. Oh, I left my galoshes on. Oh, no, we're in adventure. Yeah. Hopefully not that. What else? You know, the shoe never dropped on Admiral Saltonpepper. He went good the whole way down.
Is it bad that I still don't trust him? You don't trust him still? There's a moment.
I bet he's a bad dad.
When he was humanizing himself there and he was like, you know, he was like, oh my God, he's comparing Michael to his daughter. I was like, oh man. But then at the end when he was like, you have to choose now, I was like, God, I don't know about that.
Somewhere else. I'm gonna be with them later. And I'm like, they did not need to have this unless they're like, I feel like maybe they're planting a seed for her daughter. Like, yeah, you weren't there for me or something, you know?
I suppose, like, it's, yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Sus. Like
unnecessary dialogue.
Gui, we're losing your volume a little bit if you have a way to bump it up a bit. I also wanted to mention wanted to ask Gui because we covered Calypso recently on Backtrekking, and we were theorizing about what we're seeing in Calypso. You know, we see Discovery presumably in the future. The ship is, you know, voiced by the actress who's voicing the Sphere Data on board. And I was wondering what you guys thought. You know, I didn't think that they were going to try to cram it into fully into the end of this season, but we haven't moved all that much on that. And I was wondering where you think that's going to go still.
I don't know if that's even a thing they're going to touch on again.
Gui, you're still going in and out a little bit.
Skype doing the automatic.
Okay, we're losing Gui again. Ella, talk while Gui fixes his thing.
I feel like, I mean, we don't have a... Did we have a star date for Calypso? I feel like I've asked that before, but I feel like...
I don't think so.
You know, with Calypso, there's just like, oh, it's super far in the future. And so, like, really, I'm not super concerned with, like...
I hate this fairy tale timekeeping.
Yeah, I'm not super concerned with it if they even get to it. I mean, I wouldn't be upset if they never got to it in the series, honestly. Just because I feel like it was the short treks, so many of them ended up kind of, you know, factoring into the plots of the seasons so far. But, you know, I'd be okay with it staying like a standalone. I would love for them to sort of weave it in. But I feel like part of what I liked about the short treks originally is that they were these like sort of like beautiful standalone short stories.
Yeah. I think that's a really neat idea that I never really even considered. Like, I love that idea that it could just be, I don't know, someday something will happen to Discovery and then this will happen in the future. But they were so integrated, you know, like even like Ephraim and Dot, which you think is this cute little thing, were introduced to a robot that apparently they were really excited to introduce robots into Star Trek, as we see in the finale of Discovery here. So I don't know. I can't shake the feeling that it'll have to come back in some way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of ships that have been, you know, that are kind of floating around in space. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Disco just kind of becomes one of them. I also wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, if next season or the season after they introduce, and now I'm blanking on the name of the guy in the short trek. If he's a new character on the show, I think that'd be great.
Yeah.
Like if we get a plot line like that, where somehow they do have to leave Disco and he stays.
Yeah.
Whatever happened.
Wasn't the thing in that short trek like that the ship was waiting for them to show back up? And didn't they like retcon that?
I haven't watched it.
I don't know if it's been officially retconned, but they just, it said that. I don't know if the computer was just being poetic or what.
But
it was
like
a thousand years had gone by. But we do know that now that the computer is an intense romantic, so maybe it's just 20 minutes. They just went out for some donuts and then come back.
Loves old movies.
Right, exactly, yeah. Well, let's get into it. What do you guys think of That Hope Is You, Part 2? General impressions, specific ideas that you wanted to attack, first thoughts. What do you got? Ella?
I liked it. I still feel like this season would have been served better with a couple more episodes. I guess I'm a little stuck. I don't know if like I just personally convinced myself that the burn was like something. Like I was like, it's an attack. It's somebody made it happen on purpose. Like something happened. It like means something. So I'm a little stuck on like this idea. That like that it kind of really was just a tragedy. But I feel like I need to mull it over. I feel like I'm fresh. It's fresh. The episode is fresh. I don't have like maybe once I think about it more, I'll be like, what a beautiful story that it was just a sort of an accident. But that's kind of what I'm stuck on right now. I did really enjoy it. I thought it had JJ Trek vibes, and I wasn't disliking that. I was having fun with like the action and everything.
Both this and the premiere of this season, and then of course Such Sweet Sorrow were all Michelle Paradise scripts. Sometimes with Jenny Lamette and Alice Kurtzman, and it seems like that's the vibe that she really wants to bring to the show is that kind of run and gun thing, because there's this whole emotional arc that happens with Saru on the ship, and he's the right character. I mean, he's the Kelpian character. But I was just thinking, like, normally you'd have your main character or your purported main character being involved in that, but she's like, you know, doing the diehard thing all over the ship. And then it's Saru is left to sort of save the galaxy in a different way, you know, by sort of connecting with this character. I did notice the length too. Like I was just counting the episodes and thinking, oh yeah, it's over already. Usually there's a couple more. Gooey, what'd you think?
Well, I totally agree with, like thinking the burn was going to like, I mean, I guess what it meant, what it was like, he was sad and alone, and the end of the season, they're like, you should connect with people. But I really thought we were all speculating in the beginning, like, they were talking about what does it mean that the Federation is apart. Like, are they going to explore that? And they did a little bit when they went to like places like Navarre or whatever. But I thought the season was going to be, you know, that the two things were going to go together, like bringing everyone together,
yeah,
and figuring out the cause of the burn and like and how that relates to the nature of Starfleet or the Federation or whatever. And it really was just about how we all just need to be together, you know, like they actually left off the season at the end, like setting out to do what I thought a lot of the season was going to be anyway, which is meeting people and trying to like, you know, bring them back in and, you know, set, you know, rejoin everybody to the Chiral Network Death Stranding style. So yeah. I don't know. I was a little disappointed because the burn, it just ended up being this singular, like you said, tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was gonna impact more of like, you know, the flag waving, like we are Starfleet. What does that mean? You know, the patriotism aspect.
Yeah, you guys, both in questioning it and trying to examine it, I think you've both convinced me that it does kind of work a little bit. I've always felt that Discovery has been kind of ropey in terms of how it tries to land its season-long sort of themes. And to be fair, you know, this is a new thing for Star Trek storytelling, but I feel like they've always relied very hard on like connecting VO, like even tonight, like you said, you know, at the very end, it's like, hey, I guess it's about connecting. It's about connecting everybody. We'll see you next season. Like it's, you know, they have to kind of come in and explain it. But I do think that, I don't know, it could have been an attack. It could have been the Romulans or whatever. But ultimately, like, you know, it's just, they're trying to examine, you know, the Federation and how they can weather a disaster and just, you know, a single event happening like the Zindi, you know, killing 7 million people on Earth would be bad. Mm-hmm. But this is something, a protracted sort of tragedy that goes on for a while and how that really tests the limits of the Federation and tests their ideals. And, you know, the show didn't, it's a JJ-ish show. It didn't go as deep as it could have, but I don't think that they missed the mark totally. I think that they did kind of accomplish that, and having it all be just somebody who was involved in a tragedy and then didn't get any support because the Federation couldn't provide it for him. You know, he just was stuck out there for a long, long time. I liked how they tried to sort of really quick, I'm sure we'll explore it next year, but like really quickly slip in some kind of explanation about why he is this way. You know, he's just got, mm-hmm. he's got crazy dilithium DNA, which presumably is why he's lived this long. Yeah, we can go into that next season, but I didn't, thematically, I didn't hate it. I thought that they, you know, for Discovery, I thought they accomplished it, fairly well.
Yeah,
it's funny because
by their own terms, I think they carried it through for sure.
Yeah, Ella.
I had taken the. It seems like both you guys, when you saw the quote, you were like, "Oh, that's like what the meaning of the plot for this season." And when I saw it, I was like, I thought it was like entirely just kind of like, an addition, like given current events.
Oh, that's,
I didn't relate it to the season at all.
Totally possible. Yeah. Just to sort of like, yeah, just to make, yeah, that's what we're doing. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. Just a little smooch on the head. Goodbye.
A little bump. Yeah. A little bump there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt like maybe they're doing what, you know, They had their own story they were trying to tell, and maybe like me being disappointed because it wasn't the show I thought it was going to be. You know, maybe I need to meet it on its own level, but for some reason I feel like they begged all these questions that like of these things they were going to explore early on, and then they never did. So
I think that's fair.
Yeah, I don't know if I was like just looking too much into it. Like maybe I was just projecting what I thought I was going to see. But
yeah, it's a little weird. Maybe it's falling apart now. But like last week, they were literally like, you know, talking about like political philosophy and like,
yeah,
you know, trying to marry two things. And then this week, it's just like, you son of a bitch, just like shooting everybody and stuff.
You,
so
you, you talked about trusting Admiral Salt-N-Pepa, and it's like, mm-hmm. I didn't expect it. He'd need him to like become like a villain or something, but I guess I thought when they met with him and there was some like pushback there, I thought there would be more of an exploration of that, but it really was like there was like a couple episodes. I mean, they were still like, you know, disputing with him by the end, but by the end it was kind of like, yeah, he's like the good guy and we're on the same page. We just have, you know, different tactics here in the final episode on how to beat the bad guy, you know.
Yeah, so that's something I did have a problem with, in that, you know, the people, the heroes of the Star Trek show, be they on the Enterprise or on DS9 or Voyager, they're always going to be the catalyst. They're always going to be the people that come in and, like, presumably the story wouldn't change until they show up, right? They're protagonists. But, boy, this Admiral must be like, ever since I met you guys, you're going to kill me. Like, bottom right. Drawer, slug of Jack, you know, like, Jesus, you guys. But I took some umbrage with the Michael's kind of arc here, which was, I know best, trust me, oh, we trusted her, it worked out. And it's not an uncommon thing for like a action or adventure type show, but like it's literally the opposite of the season one theme, which was acting unilaterally, like created a giant problem which we fixed by not only like trusting each other and being, you know, together as a team, but also deciding to not take the unilateral route, not, you know, blow up the crust of Kronos or whatever it was, and to concede to things. And this time it's just like, no, I really do know what I'm talking about. It's like, okay. Oh, you did. Okay. It worked out great.
Might as well be captain at that point.
Yeah, and then, yeah, right, and you're captain then.
I'm kind of glad for that, actually, because I'm like, I'm so tired of Michael. Like, not, I think that's fine for a character standpoint. I think that makes her, like, a unique character, that she's always going against, like, the captain's wishes or whatever.
Yeah.
But at some point, you got to feel like Saru, like, you kind of seem like kind of a dip every time you feel betrayed by Michael Burnham, like the most untrustworthy character in the whole show.
Yeah. And it does seem like, just like Gooey has a gravity towards the popular shows of this day and age, it did seem like like Michael was, you know, slowly being drawn to the chair. At least we didn't get a Jon Snow, a don't want it, like, from her. Like, she never really seemed to have an opinion either
she's
way.
She's perfect for it.
Yeah, I suppose she probably is. I just never, I don't know, if the series was, I don't know, like, do you guys think that the series has really been like a story of a journey to Burnham's captaincy?
I guess if you had asked me that, I think in the first season, I might have been like 100%.
Yeah.
And watching this episode, I feel like the decisions she made in like the pilot, like, were like iffy decisions that turned out to like kind of be the wrong ones. And I feel like this episode, it was like somewhat iffy decisions that turned out to be the right ones. And then she got the captaincy back. And I mean, I was surprised that she took it, to be honest. I'm having trouble like viewing her as a captain. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think maybe that's what they wanted to build her as, was like she was thrown out in the first season and then she, you know, got in back in and then worked her way up. But I feel like her arc has pointed more towards like, I don't need this. I don't need Starfleet.
Yeah.
Like this season, it was kind of pointing towards that. Although that was more of just her hitting sort of the apex of an arc where she comes back into the fold. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't hate it. I just think that one, boy, I know they don't have that rule in the 23rd century because Kirk goes on all the missions. But you know, like Captain Picard is like not – Riker's always mad at him for trying to go on missions. Maybe they've got that fixed in the 32nd season. And then also it was kind of like – it was kind of a small thing. But like Tilly was – it was kind of her ambition to upgrade and level up. And I know she's got kind of a taste of it this year. But I hope that they don't give up on that and they continue to sort of chart her progress towards, you know, achieving her dream of being a captain as well.
I feel like she should have gotten a promotion, right?
Yeah.
That's how ranks work, right?
Right,
you just get promotion.
It would have probably been kind of a fulfilling ending if, like, there was all this doubt about her, and then you do have this moment where they're presented with, you know, what do we do? And Michael looks to her, you know, instead of, like, let's do it my way. It's like, no, let's do it your way. I believe in you, too. But instead, Tilly was like, no, people want to hear, people just want to do what you want to do. Like, let's do that.
Yeah, I felt so sad when she said that, because I was like, you know, she's still acting first officer. She should be in charge. And she's done a fantastic job so far.
Sure.
But, you know.
She could have just said, like, Michael, what do you think we should do?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, she kind of relies on, Burnham relies on Tilly to sort of lead the crew when they're trapped on the deck. And then, you know, they're bigger. The biggest concern is to stop Discovery from reaching, you know, the Emerald Chain base and just sort of disrupt things, which turns out okay. Boy, thank God Owo grew up on that weird ass colony where they had to hand fish for abalone and stuff like that.
Finally, a little. They love to give those characters development, like the episode they're going to do something in. Like, I remember last season there was a character who died on the bridge, and like we didn't know anything about her until the episode she died in.
Yeah. Which kind of made me worried for Owo this week, but it turned out okay.
I thought she was gonna
die. Me too. Oh my god, me too. I was like, that's it.
Yeah, it was kind of the mega happy ending. Even the robot didn't die.
Yeah, at least let the robot die.
Well, two of the robots died.
Yeah, that's a couple did. Yeah,
very quickly.
The robots were really kind of wedged in here. Like, do they have guns? Like, what were the robots really providing?
Support, emotional support.
I did kind of roll my eyes. Cannon needs fodder. In the previous episode when they were like, "You're the sphere data," and I was like, "Oh right, the sphere data." I guess it's the robots. I don't know.
Theoretically, the sphere data would still be valuable in the 32nd century. I know that, like, having a ship that can go anywhere would be very dangerous in the hands of someone like Osira and the Emerald Chain, but I think it would, if they had leveraged the idea of getting that knowledge and it also being a weapon as well. I mean, that's kind of a beat that they did last season, but you know, think of what maybe Osira could build this great society that she wanted to, you know, with the data.
Yeah, I guess they shouldn't let too many people know about that.
Yeah, there's a Discovery, a real problem ship all around. Let's keep talking about Discovery and the actions that were going on. We finally got to see inside the Great Space Coaster, and it's like a 32nd century space coaster now. Instead of tracks, they've got like nanoparticle gates that the turbo lifts go through.
That's part of what reminded me of JJ Trek, because it reminded me almost of that scene with all the water pipes.
Yeah.
I was like, are you going to tell me that there's all this empty space inside of that spaceship and the turbo lifts just shoot around inside of it wherever they want?
I think that's just how elevators work, right? You've gone inside an elevator in a building, you know, and then the elevator went through this like negative space, like this empty void with inside the building, and then takes you to
wasted room
to your floor. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it does make a nice setting for a Total Recall type fight, you know, where you can kick the guy off the thing.
Dude, sick fight scene.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's such a weird character, that long-haired burnout guy. But I guess he's there.
Compelling, like a charismatic actor. So.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good guy to kick off an elevator, I think. he's a good opponent for that kind of action beat.
Especially after he insulted the cat.
Yeah, you don't insult the cat. That doesn't happen.
She's a queen. No,
then you have to hit the floor.
And then there's the sort of the final fight between Burnham and Osira in the computer core, and I was thinking, like, you know, it had all the action beats you'd expect of a final confrontation, especially like in a Starfleet or a Star Trek movie. But you would think that it would be – there'd be more of a philosophical debate. But Michael was never really around for any of that stuff. You know, it's not like she was fighting Admiral Vance. So it's basically just they're just trying to kill each other, you know, and
I testing like this.
Each, testing their resolves. Yeah.
And I like the elevator scene and this because I wasn't really invested in the story and I didn't really follow the overall season arc. And I was like, well, I would watch the show of this where it's just like they're just like shooting each other in space. Like, that's not really Star Trek, but that was the best part of the episode, I thought.
And then I have no idea what happens, but Michael gets like Superman 3'd a little bit. Like, she gets like that absorbed so into the sick. Computer. Like, what? I didn't know. I had no idea what was going on.
I, for a second, when she disappeared, I was like, oh my God, Aaron was right. She's dead. That's it. like, I had a moment where I was like, oh God, I should have known that he was right.
No, she's going to come out like, she's going to come out like Iron Man with computer all over her. And then she shoots her and she taunts a dead woman. I always love it when characters are like, but you didn't know about my trap card. It's like, yeah, that person's dead. They don't know what you're saying.
Stupid. I love that. And I loved like her spitting out like the goop yeah. or whatever. Like,
yeah.
I just loved how weird and like violent, not violent, but like aggressive it was. I was like, yeah, sweet.
Yeah, it went pretty hard. Going over back to the Dilithium Nebula and the ship, I thought that, you know, for all the action, I thought that that provided a real nice, like, cooling off period in between those scenes. And I really did like the fact that, you know, Gui, you were saying before that, you know, maybe Saru's a pretty good captain, but maybe his greatest strength is in his ability to communicate. And I thought that that was really on display with him clearly being, you know, nervous, having trepidation about, you know, kind of talking to this walking time bomb. Like, what if he says the wrong thing? But at the same time, knowing that he's got to get through to this guy, he's got to, like, we have to flip the switch here or things are going to be really bad. And I just liked, there was a exchange early on when he starts talking to Sakaal and Sakaal says something like, oh, I don't do that, or the Hollows don't do that. And Saru, it's about as frustrated as Saru gets, but he's like, may I ask why? He just kind of keeps, just kind of like, we're going to have this conversation. We have to have this conversation. Let's do this.
He's still so polite.
Yeah, but yeah. And I thought he just did a really good job sort of resolving that conflict. I'd watch a Sakaal Saru hour show.
Yeah, I think he missed his calling as a ship's counselor.
Yeah, well, they need one.
They do.
It was neat. I have no idea how it works, but it was neat to see Cyber Gray, like see Gray kind of manifest in the real world. Just visually, I thought it was really cool when he, you know, walked through that one part of the simulation to look outside, and that was just really neat looking.
Well, I also love like the moment where, like they see him for the first time.
Yeah.
And they all realize. I also, weirdly enough, it made me feel, because I've also thought that Gray was sus, not in the same way as Admiral Saltanpepper this whole season, but I'm like, you know, this is not the way that we are used to, like, symbionts, like, the memories forming, you know what I mean? But yeah. It made me feel like it's okay. Like, I'm like, okay, if the computer acknowledges it, I don't know why. I was like, okay, then Gray must be real somehow, and it's just like a human body interacting with a symbiont is like something is odd. But I also thought it was funny that Hugh was like, I will bring you back from the dead.
Yeah. Which I was just thinking, like, eight other personalities in the symbiont, yeah, are like, what the hell, like, hey. Yeah,
I thought they were gonna go somewhere with that, like, further this season. I guess that goes to what you're saying. It's kind of a short season, yeah. But I thought there was going to be more to that story. There was going to be, on the planet there was going to be more of a payoff, but it was kind of like, oh, I'm here, and I don't want to be gone. And, yeah, I don't know.
Have they established just real quick, have they established on the show that when Adira interacts with Gray, like, he is you know, Gray Tall, or is he just, you know, is he all of the, you know, the gestalt of all the previous hosts, or is he just like young 16-year-old Gray?
That's a good question. Because
I never thought about it.
He's never said anything like that seems to draw on the memories of the symbiote, but
because I was just thinking when
in this episode, he said something about them when he was like, I can't do this, which I was like, what I was going to say is like, dude, you're like dead. I don't know what to, I don't know how to help you here.
Yeah. In this episode, when he was facing, you know, when he was facing like his own kind of extinction, he acted like a young boy, you know, and not necessarily, which isn't bad. I thought it was good for the character and the actor did a great job, but it just seemed like, a young boy who's like, I'm going to die again. What the hell?
Yeah. I mean, cut to next season. Maybe we'll, you know, they got holograms on the ship.
Oh, sure. Yeah, for sure. Hopefully, I'm sure they'll find a way to bring him back.
Build a robot body.
We'll put him in a starter, one of those little robots,
We'll work up to something, you know, more like Data.
Get him a nano body later. Yeah, yeah. anything else you guys can think of to talk about? It's kind of just tying up loose ends. Nothing all that new being introduced this week.
I'm surprised that like I don't have more to say about like the season finale. But I guess you're right. It was a lot of like, all right, here's for sure what the burn was, and now here's where we're all going. Michael is the captain, and Saru's going on. You know what I mean? So it's like,
yeah.
I feel the way that I felt at the other season finales, where it's like, okay, we've got it all set up. Now the show can begin. And do the thing that I'm interested in.
The show keeps beginning.
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like we say that every season. We're like, now they're going to really become themselves. You know? Like,
I don't know if that's good or bad.
It reminds me of the end of Star Trek 2009, where it's like, all right, we've set everything up.
We go. The JJ movies... They are like that. Yeah, every time it starts, it's like, okay, now we're there. Let's do it.
It took three movies, you know, to like get to beyond where it's like, okay, now it's like kind of a off in space adventure, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I feel like this. Cause I felt like, especially at the end of the last season where it's like, okay, they've got this crazy ship that doesn't really make sense in that time period of Star Trek, but that's fine. And now it's in the future. And so it can just totally be this new future thing and they're going to go and they're going to do all this stuff.
Yeah.
But then I feel like the end of this season, again, was where I thought they would be. Where it's like, okay, now let's go do that future stuff instead of the burn stuff. I don't know.
Let's go do that future stuff. That's my new podcast, I think.
Maybe I wouldn't have felt that way if I felt more satisfied by the burn story. I felt like, it was not a waste of time, but just felt like setting up more stuff.
Yeah, and I don't think, you know, I think MacGuffins are overrated, but for the burn being something that overshadowed the entire series, it did have kind of a very prosaic kind of explanation at the end. Even with a little techno babble from Adira and Culber, like, yeah, so he's got dilithium. Yeah, so there's subspace. Yeah, that's it. And it was like, okay, that was the whole thing that like destroyed like the entire Federation. Okay, keep moving.
Yeah. I feel like I want them to simplify whatever the season arc next season. Like, I feel like it should just be like, we want to bring people into the Federation. And then you just go to the planets and try to do that and see what happens at every planet. But I'm sure there'll be some new mystery that they've got to crack the case of.
And if they don't join, we'll blow them up with a warp core in space. I think I think Burnham hit like a new high score this episode, I think, because
you really did.
It's the Death Star argument, you know, like how many people does it take to run that gigantic ship? And so first I'm glad that like that Ken Mitchell's character like didn't get beamed off with all the other Emerald Chain people by the computer. The computer's like, oh, no, he's a good guy. He can stay. And then, of course, they, you know, drop the warp core. Have we ever seen Discovery's warp core on the show before?
I don't know.
I'm surprised that's not a thing. They don't eject warp core per season. You know, that, like, their restraint on that is incredible.
Well, yeah, but we finally saw it today, and of course, only for a little bit. But yeah, new kill count, high score.
That's kind of sweet.
Yeah, and it was a pretty big day for little Suki, for Sokal too, because he goes through all this stuff.
Little Suki.
He finds out that he's the reason inadvertently that he lived here for 125 years, killed inadvertently countless people. And then he finally hits the button. It's like, yay, you're free of the illusion. Now watch your mother die amongst the bodies of your friends and family.
That was rough.
But he surfs it pretty well.
He didn't cause the burn again.
No, he didn't go super Kelpian, so we're okay.
It took me a hot minute to realize what was going on. I was just like, why are there tarps on the ground in a spaceship? And then, 90 seconds later, I was like, oh, God. Oh, my God.
Oh, no. That's so much worse.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
also, I hope,
Aaron, you called it about Buck.
What was
that? You did. That he would be able to use the spore drive.
Oh, yeah. I don't even remember half the things I say. Don't listen to me.
He's almost verbatim. You were like, I think he'll be able to interact with the network. And I was like, whoa, Aaron, that's crazy. Cut to this week.
Well,
I feel like that's actually
chicken dinner for me.
Because now they're in the future, and so like having this crazy ship that would be weird for canon in the time period it was set in doesn't matter. So right. they should totally just build a ton of those ships and get a bunch of Book and his people to be the people who make it go.
Yeah,
and That could be the new Star Trek thing. It's in the future. That's way more futuristic than.
And knowing now that beyond just the prescription of knowing about Discovery in the 23rd century, but knowing that mycelium on the network continues to exist into the future, don't you think it'll start to creep into other things? Don't you think Giorgio will get a personal mycelial transporter, from Section 31 or something like that? They'll find ways, to keep sneaking it back into other properties.
Oh, 100%.
Seeing Picard and,
I hope that Season 4 answers the real question, the mystery of fake Nielsen. Who is that woman? It's almost like the cameras are programmed to cut away to Nielsen, and then the actress isn't available, so they're like, get us another girl who's got brown hair instead of blonde hair. And then at the very end, it's like, oh no, back, she's back. We shot this at a different time.
See, if this, I would love there to be just an episode for her.
And then she dies at the end.
yeah, that's how it's got to go.
Well, it was something else. We can certainly say that, but I think it's time that we fly ourselves out of our discussion of this. So I wanted to say thanks for listening, everybody, for the entire run of Discoverage, in which we've talked about all the new Star Trek shows. If you like what you hear on this show, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at EISTPod for updates and to get notified when new episodes of both Enterprising Individuals and Discoverage are being released. You can tweet to us on the show using the hashtag Discoverage, or you can email us at EISTPod@gmail.com. We're always looking for your feedback. And while you're on the internet, why not head to your listening platform of choice and subscribe to our show feed, give us a rating and a review, because it really does help us out. If you want to help the show grow, you can stop by our Patreon page at patreon.com/EISTPod. And as always, if you like the show, tell a friend. Discoverage will take a long-deserved break after this week. We don't know, as of now, when to expect Season 2 of Picard, which is set to start filming next month, or when Prodigy will release, or when Lower Decks is set to return, or when the Section 31 series will debut, or what's happening with Strange New Worlds. We, like you, are in the dark, but the light of New Trek will one day return to brighten all of our lives, and we're looking forward to that day. In the meantime, you can check out our main show, Enterprising Individuals, at enterprisingindividuals.com. Every Wednesday on the show, I and a special guest discuss in excruciating detail a selected episode from a Star Trek series. We also have news from the Trek sphere and interviews with special guests. The show is currently on hiatus, but we'll be back soon with a new season for 2021. And until then, you can listen to our 5 seasons and 260 episodes of past content for your Star Trek fix, including our Discoverage back episodes as well, all available at enterprisingindividuals.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Ella, thanks as always for joining me to talk about Star Trek Discovery and making it all the way through 23 weeks of Trek. Remind people where they can find you online.
Oh, thank you. My podcast is called Generations Geek. I do it with my dad. And we have also been on hiatus and we'll be coming back in 2021. And my buddies over at Keep on Tolkien, if you're a Tolkien fan, we'll be coming back soon as well. And I'll be helping them with that. So just be sure to catch up before we start making new episodes.
Find out what the guys from Keep on Tolkien think about the sexy Lord of the Rings show that we've talked about last week.
I'm sure they'll have a lot to say.
And Gooey, it's great to talk with you again. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Where can people find you and what you do online?
You can find me on Twitter at Gooey Fame. Of course, I got the show with you, Backtrekking. And check out Pro Wrestling Required Viewing and Virtual Theater.
Yeah, and tune in 2 weeks for Backtrekking to hear us somehow connect Wonder Woman 1984 to the DS9 episode Rivals.
I'm sure it does, according to you.
I don't know how we're going to pull that off, but we're going to try. That is it for us. Great. So thanks for listening. Thanks for sticking with us. And we are signing off. This is Ella for this is Aaron, not Ella, although I can only hope to be Ella one day. Aaron for Ella and Gooey saying live long and prosper.